some people tuned out yesterday, right at the end, the last couple of minutes. So we ended yesterday, I think, if I'm not mistaken, with the roundup. Just a very quick recap of the two Nkudas we covered yesterday. Nkuda number one was that possible to shout from Mahalik and Rashi. Rashi, whose shitter is what needs to be understood prior to yesterday's shit, we understood, as Tosfos understands, that Rashi holds that there is no such thing as a seed out of Oyo, making an Oyo when it's just a vertical mechitza. It's only when it's a horizontal, there's a roof or something like that, that's when you get into Oyo. And so how to answer the sukkah question, the sukkah when you build the third wall, so there's an issue of Oyo. So we answered that, again, prior to yesterday, we said, the pshat is, that when you make the third wall, you are effectively not just making a third wall, you are giving the sechach a shein sechach. So it is affecting the horizontal part. It becomes not just, it's no longer just a protective layer of foliage, it becomes sechach shel mitzvah. And therefore, that's why it's a problem of Oyel. That's the way we've learnt it till now. That was the way the Magen Shlomo and Shabbos understands it, on the Meiris, I think, as well, if I'm not mistaken. However, there was still a problem which I don't think we have addressed in the past, and that is from Al Sugya, the case of the people who are forming the Mechitza. They're forming the Mechitza, there is no horizontal element over here, there is no roof. And yet, Rashi is very clear, as is Mashmos of the Gemara, where Rashi, all the way through to the end, other Rashi, not all the way through to the end, but Rashi seems to hold, all the way through to the end, as long as it's not that, it's a problem of making an ayah. How does that square with what's the supposed leadership as Rashi? So we therefore suggested that perhaps Rashi never meant to say that a vertical mechitza is never a problem of Oya. All Rashi meant to say is, even if it's a mechitza matera, even if it's a halachic, in other words, it's a mechitza which has ramifications for halacha, but if it doesn't have a significant change in the status of the area that it is surrounding, then that's not an ayah. Only if there's a roof will it be an ayah. So therefore, the Gemara Daf Tzadi Dalet, which Tosfos brings, where Rashi says there's no problem of ayah, that's because we're dealing with a fence between two gardens. So whether the fence is there or not, it's a Rishus Hayochid. It's just a question of whether it's one big Rishus Hayochid or it's two smaller ones. That, putting the fence up in between, is not a problem of Asiyas Ayel. Even though, yes, it will be matir certain things which without the fence would be offered to carry because of Hilchot Eruvin. So therefore, Tosfos says that is a problem of Ayel. Rashi says, no, it's not, because it was a Rishus Hayochid, it's still a Rishus Hayochid. The Gemara in Sukkah, which talks about carrying the Sefer Torah from the house to the shul, again, it's all a Rosh Hashayachid. There was one big chot there. The problem is, again, a Hilchot Eruvin Dikah problem. But there's no Eruv here, and therefore you wouldn't be able to carry from the house to the shul. So we put up these mechitzas, these sheets, in order to create a private passageway from the house to the shul. That's going to be matir the carrying. But it hasn't changed the status. It was a Rosh Hashayachid, and it's still a Rosh Hashayachid. She says that's not a problem of making an ayah. Likewise, when it comes to the Pekek HaKaloyim, you've got a house, the house is a Rosh Hashayachid, you've got four walls there, one of the walls has a hole in the wall, so you put something in the Chaloyim, that's not a problem of making an ayah. Only if it's a skylight, only if it's something in the roof. That is what we've seen in Rashi till now. Our Sugya is dealing with something else entirely. As we proved yesterday, there is no Rishus Hayochid that links the place where Rabbi Nechemiah was standing all the way back to the Tichon. Likewise, all the cases that the Gemara talks about, or Memdada's bringing in the various things, it's in a Rishus Harabim. So therefore, when you create the Mechitzas, you are now taking a Rishus Harabim and you're making a Rishus Hayochid. The people, the mechitzas there, are not just a mechitza materis just being matir the ith of carrying. It's actually changing the status of the area from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. that already is much more significant, and therefore, even without a root, it's a problem of making an ayah. That's the way we explain Shetas Rashi, whereas Tosa says, look, a mechitza just for tznius purposes or something like that is not a problem. But if it's a mechitza makeres, it's a mechitza which is matir certain isurim, oh, that's a problem of ayah. Rashi says, no, only if it goes one beyond that. Not only is it matir isurim, it changes the status of the domain or something like that, something much more significant. But that being the case, he then says, coming back to the question of sukkah, where you've got two walls and you put in the third wall, why is that a problem of Oyel? We don't have to say anymore because it changes the status of the tzchah. That may be true, but we don't necessarily have to come on to that. It changes the status of the area inside. The area inside before was just, well, an area surrounded by two mechitzas. It's not a Rishus HaYochid, it's not a sukkah, it's nothing. But if you put up the third wall, you make it into a sukkah, you make it into a private domain, you make it into a bayit. That already would be a problem of Oyel, even without coming onto the sukkah, the roof. That's the way we explained Shetas Rashi yesterday. Yeah, clear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was one point. The second point was the Rambam. The Rambam, how to square the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Tesayin, towards the end there, Halacha Chaf Gimel, I think it is, yeah, Halacha Chaf Gimel, with the Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah, the end of Perek Dalet of Sukkah, Halacha Tesayin there. In Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam says that in order for a mechitza sheloi lo da'as to be alright, that means not only sheloi lo da'as of the people who are standing there, it also has to be Shiloh Nodav, the person who's going to be making use of the Mechitza. In this case, Rabbi Nechemia. That's why Rav Chista had to form the Mechitza. The problem is that in Hilchos Sukkah, that's not what the Rambam says. Over there, sounds like the person himself who wants to eat in the Sukkah can get his friend to stand there, and that's good enough. As long as the friend doesn't know. But he can know, the person who's going to eat in there, he's benefiting, he's making use of the Mechitza. He's allowed to know about it, what's going on. So, again, prior to yesterday, we understood that the pshat in the Rambam, why would it be that the beneficiary of it can't know about it? The only logic behind it would be because of the reason of, call it the Chiddush Yoram, or the Kut in the Rashba, Upshom Milta, a Gezerah, what it may lead to, or Zilvan and Shabbos, something along those lines. But it's not because of an issa of building a mechitza, because the beneficiary is not building any mechitza. It's not because of, well, a mechitza which was made, but made it, doesn't get a shame mechitza. Because again, surely that goes on the people who are making the mechitza. Right? No more Rabbi Nechemia than Rav Chista. If it's going on the person who's people, if anything, like the Taz asks, Rav Chista should be a problem. He's the made it here. But it can't be asked that. It would have to be something to do with Zilzul of Shabbos, that either you're involved in making the Mechitza, you're one of the segments of the Mechitza, or it's the fact that you're going to make use of it, that the Zilzul and Shabbos or Gezeira, what it may lead to, or something like that. Right. But then, why is it not a problem in Sukkah? So we said like this. We said that if you look at the Rambam carefully in Hilchos Shabbos, it's not Mukhak to read like this. You can't bring any riots from the fact that in the Mahadura that I'm using, it's got a full stop there. They've decided to have a full stop. But you could well read it like that there are two parts to the Rambam. The first part of the Rambam is where he says, Mutter, it is Mutter to make the Mechitza, Uvilvad. It's Mutter to make the Mechitza with people, Uvilvad, with a condition. That the people who are making the Mechitza, the building blocks of the Mechitza, they don't know about it. The implication is, if they do know about it, even if one of them knows about it, it's an issur. Mutter ubavad. It's mutter with this condition. If they know about it, it's an issur. Then the Rambam continues on and says, the person who's going to be making use of it, he shouldn't know about it. He could well learn that that's not an issur. That is just more of an ideal. But if he did know about it, it's not sure there's any actual issur. The mechitza will still be an effective mechitza. It's not pshat, it's a mechitza which was made for Mesut. No, ideally, because of COVID Shabbos, Zulzul and Shabbos, he shouldn't be the one who's, you know, orchestrating it. That being the case, you said that it could be, therefore, that the Rambam, for example, learns like Rashi. Although, in the Yonasan, maybe, but in other words, the people who are making the Mechitza, they mustn't know about it. And if they do, it's an Issa Boina. Right? It's going to be an Issa Boina. You could well learn like that. Then the Rambam says, well, what about Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda is instructing it? He's not doing any Boina. No problem for him. What about the person who's going to actually make use of it, Rabbi Nechemya? Well, there's no Boina for him. He's not building anything. But, because of Zilzim and Shabbat, since he's going to be benefiting from it, you know what? We want to make a bit of a safeguard. Ideally, but like, he shouldn't be the one who does it, get somebody else to do it without his knowledge. When it comes to Hilchos Sukkah, there, we're dealing with something which is 100% a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah. It's an issa to eat. It's a proper meal. It's an issa to eat outside the sukkah. It could potentially be an issa to eat outside. So there, the main point is, make sure the mechitza is built without any issa. Therefore, make sure the friend who's standing in the breach, you know, to make the final rule, to make it across the sukkah, he mustn't know about it. Because otherwise, it's an issa on Yom Tov to ask him to stand there. But the person who's going to benefit from it, we're not dealing with any issa. So, yeah, maybe in an ideal world, get somebody else to do it. But the mitzvah, since he's doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, maybe that counteracts the zilzul, because you're worried about a zilzul in Shabbos. On the other hand, he's doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, to build it, to make a kosher sukkah, then you can add back into it. He's actually involved in a mitzvah. He's going to make the sukkah kosher so he can be mekayim the mitzvah. So maybe that counteracts, that's maybe a better way of putting it. We're not even worried the chatzchila to get somebody else to do it. When it comes to Erev Tuchumin and these sort of things, okay, we are sometimes it could be a mitzvah. It's all right, but it's not inherently a mitzvah. This is always a mitzvah, and therefore Chazal said, it's always a mitzvah which will counterbalance the zilzul in Yom Tov. Therefore, as long as there's no issa in it, gesundheit, it doesn't matter if he knows about it. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. And that's essentially what we found, the Gaon Yaakov says, is the Pshat. He comes from a different angle, though, not so much being Medayik, the Lashon of the Rambam. But rather, he wants to say that that is a third way of Ma'arich in the Sugubit Rava, Ker Loda. Why does it say that Rava said, you can't do it the next week, bringing in those flasks? Because it's Ker Loda. What's Ker Loda? The Pshat being, not by the Rabbi Nechanan who takes out the Ker, he says, it is not us, the people know what's going on. No, not that. Not the way we saw in the Mordechai. Kerdot das means, well, we don't know if anyone knows about it, but don't start trying to be clever, said Robert Tishanus, because there's a good chance somebody is going to twig what's going on with it. Zilzim and Shabbos, something like that. It's Kerdot das, because we don't know if anyone knows. Don't do it the Chatzchino. Right. There's the Gaon Yaakov, the Rambam learns, Kerdot das means, the people who are in the Mechitza, they don't know about it. The people who are walking behind Rava for the Shir, they're completely oblivious to what's going on. They're not making a Mechitza for the sake of this guy's, for Rava's flask. They're just walking because they want to hear the Shir. There's no Lodah inside the people who are making the Mechitza. No, boss, Rava said that since I, the beneficiary of it, maybe the Shamash, whichever way you want to look at it, I know what's going on here. I want to be dafka now, the second week on, I can see the benefits in it. So this is already Kurt Lodas. Since I know about it, it's not an issa, but it's Kurt Lodas. It's like the issue of Lodas. Gaon Yaakov wants to learn the Kurt Lodas, and that would be a source for the Rambam to make the schiller between whether they know about it, the people in the Mechitza, or whether it's the beneficiary who knows about it. Where it's only Kurt Lodas, it would be like the issue, but it's not actually an issue. But as I said, what I think what we added this evening is an extra good nekuda to add, and that is that if the issue for the beneficiary is because of the zilzul and Shabbos was under that, cheapening Shabbos, then when it comes to sukkah, there's something to counterbalance it. If you're worried about, call it cheapening Shabbos, on the contrary, you put the mitzvah of sukkah. So there is a counterbalance to it. Now, Sheikim, when you're dealing with Hilchos Shabbos, yes, sometimes there will be, but it's not inherent in it, and that's why we don't advise it. Well, it's not an issa, but it's not something we want to encourage. As I said, the essence idea of being machali between sukkah, being an inherent mitzvah, and the sukkahs in Erevin, that already other achronim say as well, besides the Gaon Yaakov. Okay? That's a recap of what we covered yesterday.
Can I just quickly ask, yeah?
We're happy with that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So we said that the first week he didn't say anything, but the second week, in case somebody might have known about it, it was forbidden, and he didn't want him to pick up the flask. But if in the following week he was going home anyhow, there was no issa being made, but the formation of when all the students were formed a mechitza, is that a problem, even though there's nothing untoward happening?
Yes, again, mitzvot, the Talmidim, they are, for all intents and purposes, completely oblivious, at least at the time making the mechitza. Rava was saying that the next week, the second week, that, remember, he saw what happened the previous week. So for him, there's already, as they're walking, they're forming this mechitza with every step. Remember, assuming it's a moving mechitza, every step you're making a mechitza moving, and he knows what's going on. That he's already seen last week. So that was what he was worried about. Whether it's him or the Shamash, you asked that yesterday, whether it's him or the Shamash. As far as I remember, I think the Gan Yaakov says it's Rava, but it potentially could be the Shamash as well. The Talmidim, though, they don't know they're making a mechitza. That's definitely not what's going through their mind. That's why he wasn't worried about them. The first week, however, even the Shamash or Rava didn't realize that. You know, that at the time of the making the mechitza, it's only one, hey, hold on a second, there's a mechitza, let's grab the flask. So there wasn't any doubt, even with Tzad Rava stroke Shamash on the first week. The next week, however, there is an element of premeditation because I know what's happened. You know, let's say from the Shamash's point of view, he's looking outside and he's thinking, oh, these flasks are there. Ah, don't worry, the Talmidim are on their way. Give it 5 minutes and they'll be on the way, the shiur's about to finish. From his perspective, there is an element of da'at as the mechitza is forming, maybe with every step. It's a new mechitza, that's something we will, Be'ez Hashem, speak about. Yeah?
I'll be the point of view in this second week.
It will sort of come into a task like here as we start the halacha now.
Okay, alright, I'll leave it till then. Thank you.
Okay. So, people have the Mishnah Berurah, can you tell us?
Go and get it.
Yes, thank you. I'll go and get one.
Anyone who's already got it, it's Simon Shin Samach Beis. We're jumping into the middle of Sif Hay, because the first part is picking out what's Nagata. It's really actually on page Resh Yud Zayin on the base. You may have it as English numbers, something like 2, 2, 3, 4 maybe. If it's a standard Mishnah Berurah, it starts with Uvavach Yehu Kfusim at the top of the page.
It's 434. I'll put it on the group. I'll take the photo and put it on the group.
Sorry, 434. I never did. I say 234. 434, yeah.
I'll put it on the group for those that want.
Okay.
Shin Samach Beis, where, Sharon?
Sa'if Hay. In the middle of Sif Hay, I'm going to jump into. So basically, it's on the second page where Sif Hay is. It starts with the words of Ravachi Yukhutin. A few words before that. So it's page 434, if you've got the English, or Ratio Zion on the base. Some copies.
Can you, I've just got Chalik Dalit.
Can you hear me?
Yep. I can hear you. Simon Shin Samach Beis.
Shin Samach Beis, yeah.
Simon Shin Samach Beis, Sif Hay. If you've got a standard, Mr. Brewer, it's page 434.
Sif Hay.
Or Rishud Zion on the base. Same thing.
Okay.
Dipe.
But Dalad? And then Bob, 1 minute. Where's Kate gone? And Mummy's got Dalad and then Hay. And Dalad Bob. Weird. Hey, got it. Bechol Aysa Mechitza. Aysa Mechitza.
That's it. So turn the page. Turn the page, or what's the word at the top of the page? The next page?
Memtes.
I don't know, whatever your layout is. Does it take over a bunch of your kibbutzim?
Yes, on the top of 434.
If Eddie's got a different layout. You have the right to see it. That's what it starts with, what you read out. Jump right into the middle of it, though, because I'm going to jump into the middle.
Okay. I'll find it. Carry on. I've put a photo on the group.
Basically, I don't have the words prior to these words in front of me. It starts with Ashi Kvotim, it's just the few words before that. I mean, anyone who's got it can tell me the words. It says something like you can use Tei Odom. Anyone got the words?
I've got the place, yes.
It says Afilu Bebali Chaim.
Afilu Bebali Chaim over Ashi Kvotim. Right.
Exactly.
That's right. So you can even use animal. With a bunch of you can put them as long as they're tied up. Okay? As long as the animals are tied up. Why do the animals have to be tied up? Again, if you just look at the Mishnah Berurah, the main part is going to be the human being, but let's just see the Mishnah Berurah on this. If Kotan Lamed Bob, with a bunch of you can put them, why do the animals have to be tied up? Hainu, that means to say, Shehu Kofso Mibodio. Now, how can you tie them up on Shabbos? Can't tie knots. No, you tied it up before Shabbos, and you left it like that. The Osmo to the Taltel, Ali Dezer, the Shabbos. Then you're allowed to carry it using these as Mechitzas on Shabbos. Now, Tam's way in Kafisa, why do you need them to be tied up? Says the Mishnah Berurah, F for number one, so that you be close, they shouldn't run away. If animals are going to run away, a bunch of a Mechitza, right? Again, you can clear whether it's, even when they haven't run away, whether it's a problem with the Mechitza be aside, or whether it's just the Gezeirah they may run away. Practical thing. Okay, the Gamma number two, the Lav Hochi, another issue is if you don't have them tied up, Yeh Hefzuk Ben Cholol Shubin Ragli Abahim or the Ha'orot, you're going to have a gap between basically the legs of the animal and the body of the animal, that was down to the ground. When the animal tied up, Sheheves Begupa Al HaKarka, then it will be lying down with its, basically its whole body will be on the ground rather than standing on its feet. Umayu Sheesha Sot Bokhan the Greba Aska Sheesha Kheves Begupa, an animal, which is a larger animal, and therefore even when it's lying down, it has a height still of 10 foot. Okay, that's what it says is, basically there is a Morgan Avon there who, I think it was a Morgan Avon, yeah, it was a Morgan Avon, not Tart. Who talks about what exactly is the issue, is it because of it running away, or is it because of this other thing? Okay, so Mr. Burr has given a summary of it. These are the two potential issues that it's not tied up. Again, number one, it could run away. Number two is you may have too much of a gap between the, you know, if it's standing, you may have a gap at the bottom, more than 3 tefachim, and therefore your mechitza would be possible on that. Fine, okay. Now, back to the machaba. This is the main part we want. The Mechaber says, "Va'afilu ba'anoshim." You can even use human beings. She'omidim zeh itzol zeh, who are standing next to one another. Yeah, you can have a little bit of a gap between them. You know, you can use lovers, but they should be standing next to each other. The pachos mishlosha, like he says, less than 3 tefachim between one and the next. Va'afilu kashehim mahavachim. Right? Now, there's a chiddush. Even when they are moving. Now, not everyone agrees with that, by the way. Right? Hashuv mechitza is considered a mechitza even when they are moving. That is not something that everyone agrees with. The Meiri, for example, brings only when they are stationary. I've seen that haven't really looked into it. Some, I think, want to be medayik the lashon of the Rambam, also not when they're moving. Because I don't know, I don't think it's, personally, I didn't think it was so muchas, but the lashon is, I think it's from the fact that he talks about being mamid death. Mutalas in the Chitush bin Elder Meshavas, I read the lashon of the Rambam, Shiamid death is not there, but we're actually Yedu Edo Ha'oimidin. As long as the people who are standing there don't know, Shiva Shvila says the Mechita He'emidon. He stood them there for that purpose, to make the Mechita. I don't know if that's, you could say He'emidon means he put them in their initial position. I don't know if that's absolutely Mokach. There is an interesting question, which I think it was the Taz bring. I think the Beis Yosef brings it, in fact. And that is that the Rosh in Teshuvahs, which is the source of this, he says that it's all right if they're moving. So there is this question that, if you say that they can be moving, then if you remember right at the beginning of the sugya, we said, what was the sofi? When Rav Chisda came in and he said, what can we do about your Talmida, your Talmid Nechemia? He's standing outside the Tchum, the Tzar. The Gemara says, what was his sofi? What was Rav Chisda, what was Tima Sufik about? He said, maybe one possibility is, do we pass Kandai Rav Magamdiel? In other words, will making mechitas with people, will that actually help him or not? That's one possibility. But then we said there's another possibility. And the other possibility is that it's nothing to do with that. No, everyone knows, of course, we pass Kandai Rav Magamdiel. That's possible. The shaida is the shaida is if the people don't, we don't have enough people to get him all the way to the Tchum, right? If we don't have enough people to get him all the way to the Tchum, then, is that a problem? If you can get him to the last two amos, right? So we pass on Rabbi Eliezer, who says if he's within two amos of his old Tchum, he can walk back in. The Tosfos asks, well, what's the problem? Once Nechemia starts walking, to the people at the end of the end of the line, furthest away from the Tchum, he can quickly run round, get them to walk, and come to the front of the line, something like that. And, fit in the last bit. The Tosfos answered, no, because we needed to be Shiloh Ladas. Once you can get a Shiloh Nadav, once you try to get them to move, they're gonna tweak. They've seen Nechemia walking, they cut what's going on. Yeah, correct?
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question quickly? Sorry, if the people are making the Mechitza, are they inside the Mechitza or outside the Mechitza for their own Muteres?
That's a very, very good question. For here, Lagavi Shabbos, I haven't seen that spoken, I haven't seen that raised. I know Lagavi Sukkah is spoken about. In other words, if you get your friend to stand in the third wall, can he eat?
Can he eat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you say he's both in Mechitza and he's in the Sukkah, or do you say no, you can either be in the Sukkah or you could be in Mechitza, you can't be both?
Yeah.
I know it's spoken about that. I didn't really look into it. I just saw there are it's something spoken about. I suppose maybe would it be the same thing over here if he threw something. The Gabi Shabbos, we do say that the Mechitzas which make a Rosh Hashayach, the Mechitzas themselves become a Rosh Hashayach. If the person who was forming the mechitza, I don't know, was to throw something, dumb and dumb is there, it's difficult to hear that he's going to be chayav anything, because if he's making the Rosh Hashayach, you're going to say he's outside the Rosh Hashayach, that doesn't make sense. I think in answer to your question, it can't be Shabbos, first making the mechitza is definitely considered to be inside. the question is about the shukr, isn't it? Is a different question.
So what I'm saying is, if they were coming from a different direction, and they now, by taking Rav Chisda back in, or Rav Nechemya back into the Tachum, would go outside of their Tachum, would they now be okay because they're within the Mechitza?
Say again?
So if they were coming from a different direction, i.e. on the edge of their own Tachum, and to get Rav Nechemya back into his Tachum, they would come out of their Tachum, the people in the Mechitza.
Okay, so I hear what you're asking. But Bas Achas, no, I don't think you can start, use the Mechitza for them to walk. I don't know. Again, we're assuming, let's say they got there from the same place as Nechemya, they just had an Eilus, they can move back.
I'm just trying to work out
I hear what you're asking, what you're wondering. I don't know, you have to think that one through. The Taz brings this question for us. They say it's in quits from the Shabbat HaRosh. But if you say a Mechitza which is moving, not a problem, so why don't you just make sure they're all walking towards the town, and then Nechemya walks effectively with them? You, what do you say?
Yeah, why not? If it's Vapida Kishay Mahalchim. That's the whole point.
So is this a raya that Tosfos holds that they can't be moving? Tosfos had this question. Why can't we get the people of the end to come to the plant? No, on stage it'll be Lodas. Okay, so get everyone just keep walking.
Yeah, then that would be perfect.
Why didn't Tosfos
Shalom Midas?
The Taz answers, and he says, no, it's the same answer as Tosfos gives. You can't prove anything from that. Same answer. If you try to get them to keep walking, they'll hop what's going on.
What did it say? Exactly the opposite. If they stand still, they'll hop what's going on.
Remember. If they stand still and they chup, who cares? According to the Ritva, the way we learn Rashi, the way we learn Rabbeinu Yonatan, it shouldn't be a problem. The Mordechai was the only one who held it would be a problem. Okay, we'll have to see if that's mentioned in Aloha. Okay, we'll have to see. Right, how we pass an Aloha that they subsequently realize. And at least according to the Ritva and that whole school, who cares if they subsequently realize? If they're walking, however, then is it a walking mechitza, or is it every step they take, they're making a new mechitza? If you have a stationary mechitza, and then you get the people at the end to walk around that's a new mechitza at the front. So that for sure is a problem if they realize when they walk to the front. That's a pshat and tosef. If it's a walking mechitza, then it could be with every single step, they're remaking the mechitza. That if even one person from all these people, as they're walking, cups what's going on, the whole thing collapses. I mean, the whole Eitza collapses. It's not likely no one's going to cup as they're walking.
But they are used to accompanying Reb Nechemya, so that's the reason why what they're doing is because they want to accompany him. That's what Rav Chisda is thinking when he says go and get Rav Nechemya. So they still might not realize they're making a mechitza, they're just accompanying him.
I'm not sure, Marshall, what you mean by that?
without walking, then what would the first person who's Nechemya is counting on do after Nechemya's walked away from him? He'll think, I can't just stand here. Why should I just stand here? What am I doing here? He'll want to accompany him.
We don't necessarily, I mean, if he's walked, if Nechemya's moved on from him, we don't need him anymore anyway. But again, the Taz answers, if you were having everyone walking, if you tried to get everyone to walk, they're going to hop what's going on.
Yeah.
But if their purpose was to listen to what their Rebbe is telling them, the Talmud would be just, they're not there for making any formal machitza, they're there to listen to what he's saying. And if he walks, they'll walk. If he stands still, they'll stand still. They want to hear what he's saying.
Okay, but again, this is what the Taz wants to say. Again, with this whole discussion about a moving machita, there's quite a bit potentially to play around with it. You know, as I said to you, if you got a moving machita with people, is it pshat that it's a moving machita, or is it pshat with every single step you're recreating a machita? Making a new machit every step, right? Nafka Minna being, if it's just a moving machitza, then the kashrus is, who cares if they find out as they're moving? According to Rashi, according to Rabbi Yonatan, I'm talking about according to them, I'm not talking about according to the one that's Zulman Shabbos, I'm talking about according to Rashi and the Rabbi Yonatan. The issue is, they can't know about it when they actually make the machitza, Boina, or Majid, whatever you want to say. Once they're moving, if it's just a moving machita, who cares? Who cares if they know about it? If I have you say with every single step they're recreating the machita, then how does it work? You see, for example, as I said to you, not everyone holds that you can have this thing when they're moving. There is, it brings no way. I know the Morgan Avraham, I think it is. The Morgan Avraham, I think. I can't remember the name. I saw it earlier. I think it was the Morgan Avraham. He speaks about this fact, well, how can you have a movable machitza? We know, we know that halacha machitza has to be tied down properly. How can you have a movable machitza? If you view them as a moving machitza, no, you've got a question. If ever you say no, every single step is a new machitza, then they're not a movable machitza. But then you've got this issue of them realizing what's going on. It's going to be much harder to keep it a secret. Because with every step, Kenzad is making a new machitza.
I'm not quite
what to think about there. The Maaseh says the Mechaber Paskin, even when they're moving, it's fine.
I'm not quite sure, two issues. One is the Gemara says the Feirush, so they've got a case for this moving machitza, so why would anybody think that it doesn't work?
Why would anyone think that what doesn't work?
That moving machitza would not work, given that Gemara has a case of moving machitza.
Where do we have a movable
machitza?
Who says in the case of Rava it was a moving machitza?
They were walking along, I thought. They listened to him talking. That's how I understood it.
I know. But that is only, you learn the Gemara that way if you learn that a movable machitza is good. Maybe that's, you know, the Meiri, for example, says, no, you cannot have a movable machitza.
No, you learn the Gemara differently.
Would say, no, Shasta, they were walking behind Rava. Rava then stopped to answer a question, so he grabbed the thing.
No, that's good, that way. Meiri, so he learns it definitely like that. That moment they grabbed it.
Yeah.
Okay, no, right, let's answer the question, I suppose.
La halacha, we're saying even movable is fine. Yeah. And as I said to you, one thing we're going to have to see if we can put to any... Until now, we've said, if people chop whilst, you know, Nechemya's coming in, so according to, according to two out of the three reasons, for sure, it's not a problem. But if then, we'd have to rethink that. Because again, the problem, the question over here is when they're walking, how can you have a movable machitza? We know that, you can't have a moving machitza, surely.
Yeah.
And a mechita, which is nayit, generally speaking, is no good. Can't have a mechita that flaps in the wind. Unless you're mechalik, because a human being is not something that flaps in the wind, he's got full control of himself. But if you learn that every step is recreating the mechita, then you don't have that problem. Every step, you've got a machita. It's not moving at that, you know, pinpoint at that that moment. But then, when they take the next step and they effectively make a new machita, if they realize what's going on, maybe that should be a problem. Okay, we'll have to see as we go. Provided the machaber is paskening, even as they're walking, it's considered to be a machita. Fine. Okay, those, they come from the rosh, as happens in Shulchan. Now, he goes on, the Mechaber says, between the people, it's got the status of a Rosh HaSayochid. But remember, they must be surrounded from three sides. Now, he said, here comes the condition. That is, with the condition, that they shouldn't realize, shehu'amodu l'shem mechitza. They have been made to stand there l'shem mechitza. They are fidu echod me'am yodea. Even if just one of them knows that's the reason why they're there, also it's forbidden. We proved that from the fact that the Gemara asked, how can Rav Chista be in the Mechitza? He knows what's going on. Gemara has answered, he's not one of the people in the Mechitza. Fine. The Afiru im loy hodiyom, she'osa Mechitza ato, even if he didn't let them know that he's about, you know, he's making a Mechitza with them, im korov hadobar sheyedu, if it's likely that they are going to realize what's going on, to go in such as, she also mayhem mechita pam acha. You already used them once. Then lo yafe mayhem mechita oid. Don't make a mechita another time. But that's the thesis we just quoted, because that's why we don't get people from the back to come to the front, because by that time they chup. You know, once you can get away with it, not the second time. Right? But this is the vayda we're talking about in the making of the mechita itself. Not if in the process, whilst they're standing there, they'll chup why they've been asked to stand there. Yeah? Yeah, clear? Okay, let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah.
The idea that in the making of the Mechitza is nafka according to Rashi, because he's worried about Binyan, but according to people who are worried about Ofshe Milsa, wouldn't it be a problem even afterwards if they realised?
On the contrary, if the problem is Upsho Milso, we said that could be a problem, potentially, that's the Mordechai, that's the way we explain Mordechai, at least, B'Shem the Maharam, that it's a problem even if they discover after they've made the Mechitza,
that's what I said.
Be a problem.
That's what I thought I said.
Yeah, and it's only a problem if they know when they're forming the Mechitza, and the Mechaber is going to talk about that anyway in the next year.
And then after
that,
yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Just one thing.
There's the Mishnah Berurah.
Just to go back, in when the Mechaber, im loy haredim she'asa mechitza ato. So he's talking about he's not talking about the Nechemya here, only about the people in the Mechitza.
Correct.
Because we were trying to say it was Nechemya as well.
Nechemya is only going to come into it in Sifzai.
Ah, okay, so we don't know.
At the moment, we're only talking about the people in the Mechitza.
Yeah.
The Mr. Brewer says, they've got the number Zion. The poch is mishloisha, you've got to make sure the people are standing next to each other with no gap, you know, three tefachim or more. I'm the Be'adokha, take a look at the Be'adokha. Okay, so let's take a look at the Be'adokha. What does the Be'adokha say? Be'afidu ba'anoshim v'chudu, the poch is mishloisha. There's the Be'adokha. Iksha ha'bach. The Bach asks Akasha. Ostam odom rechobei amo. A normal person, an average person, how wide is he? In other words, across his body. What's the width of a person? An amo. definitely more than three to four, and that's the main point. Vim Kane, if so, Afilu Yish Ben Ayam, however, Yish Mishlesh Tfok. Let's say, between one person and the next, you got four Tfok. You got no more Lovel. What's the problem? Dam Kane, yeah, sorry, it should be permitted. Nishim Zomid Murubal Aporu. Remember, the rule is, if the solid part of the Mechitza is more than the breeches, and you don't have a single breach which is more than, you know, more than 10 amos, which you're not going to have over here, then it's, the Mechitza is a good Mechitza. So if each person is roughly an amo, then why do I have to ensure that the gap between one person and the next is less than 3 tefachim? You're busy worrying about lovers. Why are you worried about lovers here? Yeah, good question.
Seems not, but it will. I can't think of why. But
If you can't think of why, it's a good question.
Do we need to worry about Omer Merubal Aparetz here? If it's a gap of 3 to 4, then it's like a in Sukkah, it's possible. Even if you have Omer Merubal.
Not if the Omer is Merubal Aparetz. The Gabi Shabbos, the rule is, if you've got a Mechitza, you can have gaps of more than 3 to 4, so long as the solid part is more than the gaps. That's the rule. So why are you worried about up to 3 tefachim, not up to and not including 3 tefachim gap? Why? But each person is more than 3 tefachim. So even if you've got a gap bigger than 3 tefachim, you don't have lovers, so what? What's the problem? A very fact the Bach. So it comes along the Mogen Avraham and he gives an answer. The Tiritz HaMogen Avraham, so the Mogen Avraham answers, that a fichach for Elon Shiyah tochet mishlesha, do you know why there has to be, the gaps have to be less than 3 tefachim? Mishum Raglov, it's because of the feet of a person. The Heim Kekonim the Alma, like sticks effectively. Umistomo in Horaglaim Dvukim Sebozer. Well, Minastam, when people are standing there, they don't have their feet, you know, next to one another. Uviflat Kesheim Malchim, especially when they're walking, they definitely don't have their feet side by side. The yish bein regel lo regel kishir chati amo. When you're walking, the gap between one foot and the other foot is roughly half an amo. Right? That means we have to actually, we quoted it from the later on in the with Shin Sadi Vov Shin Sadi Zion or something like that there. With regard to the footsteps, he said, how many footsteps can a person take on Shabbos if he doesn't know where the sun goes up to? He said 2,000 footsteps, average footsteps for the average person. The reason being, because we made a cheshbon. We said a person's foot is 3 tefachim, half an amma in other words, and when you're walking, normally, between your toe of the foot behind, in other words, and the heel of the foot in front is 3 tefachim. So basically the gap from one leg to the other leg is, leg I'm talking about, not the foot, the leg to leg at the very base is one amo. So that's why you can take 2,000 footsteps. So that's 2,000 amo. And this is also brought in, he's bringing it from Siman Shin Aleph in Hilchos Shabbos. Kedisa, the Siman Shin Aleph, Ayin Shom. Take a look over there, it's right at the beginning of Siman Shin Aleph, long Siman there, but the beginning of Siman Shin Aleph, it's talking about on Shabbos, you shouldn't take what we call psios gathos. You should walk casually. Never a good idea to take large footsteps, actually, the Gemara says. And over there, it defines it. But it's the same question as we just mentioned. So says the Biyadocha, this is what he's quoting from the Mogen Avraham, that the reason why you can't have gaps between one person and the next is because a person is not a solid amo from his shoulders, let's say shoulders down to his feet. Yeah, the torso of a person, that whole part of the person, is an amo wide. And if a person was standing there absolutely stationary, and his feet were stuck together, then yeah, you'd have, even if it's not quite an amo at the, you know, right at the base of his feet, you know, legs, they taper a little bit, but in all probability, you would have you'd be all right. Then you'd have a good question. But that's not the material. People stand with their legs apart, and especially when they're walking, they've definitely got a gap of 3 to 4 inches. Right? So, that's why we have to ensure that between one person and the next is less than 3 to 4 inches. Otherwise, you've got a problem. You can't take umid murubal aporot, because it's not umid, it's not solid all the way down from the ground. There's the bi'adach, and you may be puzzled, because the bi'adach is also going to be rather puzzled by this. He says, in the Tosefes Shabbos, Kosta, in the Tosefes Shabbos, he writes, that's the name of the sefer, in other words, Tosefes Shabbos, he writes, Da'adin imam Mogen Avraham. Yep. Mogen Avraham is quite correct. But only Kishu Mahadi when a person is walking. Because then, like we said, you can have gaps between the legs. Avol and Kishua, I mean, but not when a person is standing still. When a person is standing still, you don't have such a gap. I am Shom taking it over there. With Aniya Stati, says the Chavetz Chaim, in my humble opinion, kosher, the whole thing is difficult. Afidim u'mahalich, even if he's walking, what's the problem? Aloi ha-shir shloisha tzpokim, surely the shir you're talking about, 3 tzpokim, shiish benem, which you've got between the legs, u'rak b'sofar ego, that's only right at the bottom. But though the malam is there, but as you go up the legs, the gap closes. So Revach Shabinim is cut to the Hirich Lamala. As you go up towards the torso, it's like a triangle, it begins to narrow. The Inkain, if so, Avshad Amato Yishchalal, being regular Shalish Tfokin, even though right at the bottom you've got a gap between 1 foot and the other of 3 Tfokin, Haloi, but surely Kishanimdid Kitas Lamala is there. When you go up just a little bit, the Sech Shalish Tfokin is going up within 3 Tfokin of the ground. You won't have 3 tefachim anymore between 1 foot and the one leg and the other. The name of Lovers, why can't we say Lovers? The Tzorech here. Chavetz Chaim leaves it Tzorech here. Now, Be'ez Hashem, we'll speak more about this tomorrow, because I think you want me to finish a quarter past, right?
Yes, right.
Yep. So let me just leave you off with, I've got 1 minute, let me just leave you off with something to think about. I know people, when we were doing this on Shabbos and 2 Shabbos is back, people were busy, I think it was on Shabbos, trying to do experiments and things like that. You can, have a think about this, just the material. One thing which I found a little bit troubling is, he's saying, well, at the base, you've got a gap of 3 tefachim. So the minute you go up a little bit, it's less than 3 tefachim. No, at the base, you've got a gap of an amah. But when I say the base, I'm not talking about right at the base, the very first couple of centimeters, which is the height of your foot. Go from the top of your foot. Once you go on top of your foot, from one leg to the other is an amah. That was the whole question. 3 tefachim is from your toe to the heel. But your foot is 3 tefachim. So therefore, once you go up just a very small amount, the gap is already an amah. So now you have to check the materials, how quickly that gap of an amah is going to taper to less than 3 tefachim. The Mishnah Berurah is making a cheshbon, the Chofetz Chaim is making a cheshbon, but if right at the bottom it's 3 tefachim, well, the minute you go up a little bit, within one tefach of going up, you're already under 3 tefachim. But it's not true. At the bottom, you're already, basically, it's a whole amah. You've got to get it to taper within 3 tefachim down. Maybe it does. Maybe it does taper quick enough. But you have to check the materials on that. And I'm sure people will have what to say about it. Some people are much taller than I am. So we can have a discussion about that, Ben Hashem, tomorrow. Okay? To be continued tomorrow.
Skar.
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 Oh, thank you.